Well, let's take our seats. Now, confession time. When I got home last week, I was told off. Because my wife said, did you know how long you stood up the front for last week? So, we're going to do an agreement today. 25 minutes. At 20 to 1, that clock. Fox, keep an eye. You say you've got 1 minute. After 26 minutes, or after 26 minutes, Nick's going to turn me off. Are we all agreeing on that? I produce too much material. I actually get excited about some of this lot myself. So forgive me. So Linda commented to me, and I'm trying to shorten things a little bit. Oh, well, there we are, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Well, look, we're still going to finish at 20 to... But my wife is going to tell me then. Yeah, all right then. She's got the authority. I'm a man. Yeah. Yeah, I remember when we got married, I promised to obey or something like that. Yeah, we are. So, we're looking at these values and the leaflet. And what really stands behind it. And we've looked at all these things on one side. And we're trying to sort of make this, own this as a church. So we looked at what it is to be totally committed, what it is to be empowered, and this thing of introducing others to Jesus. That's why we're going to have a little look at this workshop tonight. So you want to come and join us. We'll be meeting in the lounge. It'll be informal. And we'll talk about how do we tell the story. Now, on the other side of the leaflet, if we just turn that over, Janet, that's fantastic. These are the values, and so we're starting to unpack of our values, and just they're not in no particular order, and so we're going to go through these values over the coming weeks, and then we're going to look at some key scriptures. But it says there, as Jesus was humble, so we should be humble towards him and each other. And we're going to just look at this whole area of humbleness and humility. It says this in 1 Peter 5 and 6. All of you, so that's not some of us. That's me, you, everybody. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. John Stott, one of the famous writers, really, of commentators and evangelical material this century, says, pride is always our greatest enemy, and humility is always our greatest friend. So I just want to say, if there's one thing I'm better at than everybody else, it's humility. And I suppose humility is just not one of those things I can brag about. And if I had a little more, I'd be perfect. But it's a difficult one even to find jokes about humility. I spent ages looking on the internet. Couldn't find anything, sorry. Yeah. It's a difficult one. But this is what God plainly says. You know, have you ever been in that situation? You say, look, what do you actually want when you're confused? And this is what God wants. And what does the Lord require of you? Act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. In the church and society, I just want to say we're living a time when there's a real scarcity of humility and overabundance of pride everywhere we turn. I like politics, but the recent general election, irrespective of party, to me just displayed arrogance and a lack of humility at a national level. People making all kinds of commitments that didn't even get elected. Look what's happening now in the presidential midterm elections in America. I find it an offence. There is no humility to be seen. All of us want to be chiefs and nobody wants to be an Indian. Never has a prophetic utterance of Timothy been so contextually relevant. As some say, I'm going to preach a little bit on the end times. What things can we look for in society? But this is what Timothy says. as the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderous, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. Gosh, isn't that really what society... I read that out of the Message version, and I want to say humility is really the complete opposite to that lot. But so much of that, I just want to say, represents our society, and it can represent us. But what does it mean to be humble? Well, the dictionary defines it of having or showing a sense of lowliness or inferiority. Now, in the New Testament, it was written in Greek. That was, although Jesus spoke Aramaic, the New Testament is written in Greek. And there's a few words, but they're all based on this word tapeneus, which means lowly, and that's the Greek word. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Or you get something to make low. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Or tapeneo, to make oneself low. And this is in relation to Jesus himself. And being found in appearance like a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And the context of that, to be crucified was like the lowest of the low. If you was a Roman soldier or a Roman official or a Roman citizen, you couldn't be crucified. You'd have your head chopped off. It was like dishonouring to be crucified because you were strung out naked and humiliated. But that's the depth that Jesus' humility goes to. He was humiliated, so we will not be humiliated. And that word tapeneo actually means to level a mountain or a hill. Now, we got the New Testament written in Greek, but then we've got like really important people who formed what Christianity is. They're called the early church fathers, people like Augustine. And one of those early church fathers is another guy, John Chrysostom. And this is what he said. He said, humility is the root, mother, nurse, and foundation and a bond of all virtue. And what he meant by this is he meant that it is what all other virtues are built upon. Without humility, there is no love. There is no forgiveness. There is no courage or any other virtue. Without humility, they simply become mirages of what they are to be. God does not help those who help themselves, but he extends grace to those who do not think they deserve it. He's looking for the humble. He's looking for those who are contrite in spirit. In other words, those who have a feeling of remorse, who recognize what God's done for them and where they really stand. He's looking for those who are not seeking to remove him from his throne so they can rule. He's looking for those who want to bow in humble worship and service to him as king. Well, the easiest definition for humility is to say it's really the absence of pride. There are many wrong ideas about humility and many ideas that a definition of lowliness and poverty could wrongly lead us towards. So I want to share some things that humility is not. First of all, humility is not refuting the grace and the gifts God has given you. You and I are God's workmanship, created in his image for a purpose. Humility is not saying that we are of no value, we are of no worth. Without doubt, everyone here is uniquely gifted and designed and made by God. For some, God's made you athletic. Some of you are pretty good. I was sharing with Jen this week. We was talking about Message on the Ball, and she said, well, what do you think about football? And I know it's awful, but I wish I liked it, but I hate it. But I was damaged by good athletic people, because when I was at school, they didn't have this modern philosophy, it's the taking part that counts. There were winners and there were losers. And they would go to the football field and they would line you up on the centre line and you get the two best kids who could play football. They always had all the snazzy gear on and they would come out really, really smart like that. And I had Biafran blue shorts on that I used to pull over my shoulders when it was cold. And I'd be there. And they'd go, you, you, you. And there'd always be me and the big fat kid at the end. He couldn't run and I couldn't play. And I can remember to this day the two smart captains saying, you had him last week. It's your turn. And what position was I given? Goalie. So I'm not there. But some of you are. And I thank God for that. For others, he's made you musical. Well, it's really good, isn't it, we've got musicians. Have you ever thought about that? We really take these people for granted. It's great, isn't it? But I can't play. I've tried with my dyslexia. I can do First Noel. I'm really hoping we can have that in a carol service and I'm brought forward to play. And I can do the beginning of Three Blind Mice on a recorder. And make a noise like a cuckoo. That's it. I can't do it. Some of you is made smart. Some of you intellectual, very good. I get now Bill and Esther to check my grammar. I have taken O-level English. I can't remember. I kept changing my notes, but at least four times, I have never passed O-level English. I still do not know what a noun and an adjective, adjective and a doing word and all this. And don't tell me afterwards, because you'll bore me. Somebody's going to come after me and say, oh, it's easy, Neil. No, it's not. And a pronoun, it's all waffle. But that's the way it is. Others have been graced with good looks, and that's where I do well. But what I'm trying to say, he's gifted us, and we've got gifts, and we're all very different. But humility is not saying you don't possess grace and gifts. Humility is not denying that God has made you the way he has made you. It's not denying that God has gifted you with graces to be used for his glory. It's a false humility to deny that God hasn't made you very special for his glory. It may be pride to think more highly of yourself in those things, but it may also be false pride to deny that God has gifted you, especially if you claim that to gain attention from others. Humility is not denying he's made you. We are unworthy, yes, but we are not worthless. I just want to say that. You cost so much. Each and every one of us cost the death of Jesus Christ. That's how much you're worth. And I used to always struggle with that until it really sort of sunk into my subconscious. But there's that wonderful line in the Anglican Communion, we are not as so as worthy to pick up the crumbs under our table, or something like that. And I used to struggle with those words until I realised the difference between worthy and worthlessness. I am not worthy, but I am worth so much that God gave his best. And so Paul would say, you were bought at a price. And that price was Jesus Christ. Nothing more was of greater value. That, if you want to know what your value is Jesus Christ. He had to be exchanged for you. Please don't devalue yourself. Secondly, humility is not being a chicken or a weakling. It's not weakness. Humility is not the opposite of courage, but it's the root of courage. Think of the apostles at the beginning of the church, in the beginning of the book of Acts. They act with great courage, but they're not proud. I love the fact that when Peter first speaks, he's obviously never preached a sermon before, and all the critics are saying, isn't that the fisherman from Galilee? He must have had a right northern accent that nobody understood or whatever. He must have had something really... How are we doing this today, Carol, with the voice? Is it southern enough? You couldn't hear what I said when I said Ben-Hur last week. Yeah. But that's it. But that's what it's like. He was humble. He had his working class roots. He wasn't proud, but it gave him courage to go and share the gospel. Humility does not mean that you have to be a doormat to abuse. In seeking to be humble, we'll never say, well, I guess I'm supposed to be lowly, and if someone wants to take advantage of me, I should let them do it. That is not humility. Yes, humility can choose to turn the other cheek, but it doesn't automatically accept being taken advantage of. Choosing not to turn the other cheek and being abused, you're a victim. But when we're taken advantage of, humility does not seek revenge, but it trusts in the Lord to care for them and to bring about justice. Thirdly, humility is not a lack of vision, focus, aspiration, and godly desires. It's not wrong to want to be used of God or desire to see the kingdom of God advanced. It's not wrong to seek education and do better. It's not wrong to seek a good career if it's in balance with a mature faith. It's not wrong to want to expand a business for those who work for yourselves if it's in balance. These are good things. If you work with Mark, it's not wrong to want to sell more cars. These are good things. It's not wrong for Gordon to want to do more business. It's not wrong for Phil to want to sell more cars. You're in sales as well, are you, Chris? What do you sell, Chris? Yeah, it's not wrong for Chris want to hit safety targets. These aren't wrong things. It might be wrong for Bill to want you to address... I'm just thinking there. It's not wrong. Yeah, it's wrong for you, Chris, to want to arrest more people. There's nothing positive in that. Sorry, that came out. I'm just thinking there. I'm looking at Bill. Yeah. Yeah, that was wrong if you got stopped by Bill. But there we are. God is not glorified by a losing or a defeatist mentality. It is not true humbleness to look for a pursuit of mediocrity. Let's not forget who's mentioned in the Bible as experts and examples of humility. Moses is said to be the most humble man on the face of the earth. This is what it says. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. You know, it's interesting that God says, what do you desire? And he says, to be humble. And here we have a guy who's considered to be the most humble person up to that stage in humanity. But Moses never lacked direction. He didn't lack desire or godly ambition. Maybe at first, when God first had a call in his life. But once he stepped forward, he led people through the wilderness. He got the law from God. In fact, he's only called humble after he did some mighty things, not before. So what I would say is humility is the ability to accurately see yourself in God's universe. And once you see this with crystal clarity, it affects all your life. Ultimately, humility before God is evidence and seen in how we treat other people. I guess the most pressing question is this virtue found in your life and my life? Because it's no use just putting it as a characteristic of the church if it doesn't become lived out amongst us. Martin Luther once said, true humility does not know that it is humble. If it did, it would be proud of it from the completion of so fine a virtue. And so as we spend the last few minutes trying to point out areas in which we see humility, here are some I found from an author in my preparation for today's sermon. But let me apply them in the context of Romans 12, verse 3. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So the first thing I want to say, that one, the first thing is, am I constantly growing in my trust in God for everything in my life? If we define humility as the ability to assess ourselves in the light of God's holiness and our sinfulness, then we need help. And if we need help, we will grow constantly in our trust of God and everything for life. Humility is saying, I'm not in control, but He is. And since He is in control, and I know God to be good and perfect and holy and right in everything He does, then I can live my life in humble dependence on Him. It was interesting. I said one or two things last week, which was really good. And I had some interesting conversations because I said, look, at the end of the day, I believe in heaven and I believe in hell. And I think that's what the Bible teaches. And it's really good that when you start to unpack some of those things, how do they outwork? But the big scripture that comes to me was when Lot was really confused about the justice of God. In the end, Abraham said, will the Lord of all the earth do not do what is right? Actually, humility is saying God will do what's right. He knows more than I know. He knows the situation more than I know. God in the end does what is right. And that rightness goes on to eternity. Secondly, you know, am I quick to repent when my sin is revealed to me? Pride, you know, always holds on to sin. Humility repents of it. Often there are sins that we're not aware we're committing, but if somebody points them out to them, what do we do? Do we take that as an offence, or do we run to the cross? That's the sign of humility. Humility sees God as holy. Humility sees itself as sinful. It doesn't rationalise. It doesn't generalise by saying things, well, everybody's a sinner. Humility runs to the cross and says sorry, and it longs for grace. Thirdly, I find it easy to ask for forgiveness than I used to. It can be very difficult to ask somebody for forgiveness. It may be because we have to admit we were wrong. Maybe it's an embarrassment. Maybe it's a shame. Those of you who are married know what it's like to go to bed and live in a 16-foot bed and retreat to your own corner, and all you want to do is have a cuddle. But you can't turn round and say sorry. Who's going to make the first move? That's the opposite of humility. Humility is saying, I am sorry. Humility doesn't need roses or flowers, as important as they are. But why do you think flowers and roses do so well? Because it stops people saying sorry. Do you remember the advert? Say it with roses. No, don't say it with roses. Say I am sorry and give a box of chocolates. Giving a gift does not excuse saying sorry. But saying sorry may include giving a gift. And if you've got any gifts you want to give me, then give me them. I'm not bothered if you say sorry or not, just give me the gifts. Fourth, I desire for God to get all the credit for anything He allows me to accomplish on earth. Can we honestly say with the psalmist, not us, Lord, not us, but your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness? It's really tough sometimes being a minister, being a Christian. I don't always get it right, and I think you'll struggle with that. But I hope God gets the glory of everything we do. Fifthly, I think highly of my God. Humility sees myself in the light of God. I know that is in control. I've touched on that. Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him. But knowing the nature of God helps you understand that what pleases Him. Are you thankful? It's impossible to be humble and not thankful. But what about those bad things that happens to us? Are we saying we shouldn't complain about them or feel bad about them? Well, in one sense, the humble person doesn't gripe and complain. Don't miss what I'm saying. I'm not saying we don't feel pain and hurt, but what I am saying that they give thanks in the good and the bad. You know, the writer of Philippians says, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. Some circumstances are horrible, but we can give thanks in all circumstances. The humble person receives from the Lord the blessings and the challenges. Seventhly, there's 10 here, nearly finished. I desire to serve others. The proud person, it's all about themselves. The humble person serves others. The humble person takes examples of Jesus to reach out more to other people, thinking of their needs and more important than yourself. And so Philippians says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but for the interests of others. Eighthly, do you rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those that weep? It says this in Romans, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Humility is excited and happy when good things happen to others, never bitter. They are not upset at God that those things aren't happening to them. They're excited for the blessings that God sends others. They are never happy when bad things happen to others. You know, it's a struggle for us all. Are you open to be taught? Ninth, humility never sees itself as having arrived. Humility says, I can learn from anybody. And finally, I joyfully put myself in situations where I'm not in charge. Are you ever in a situation in which you're not in charge? For some of you, your entire life is lived in submission. But for others, there's rarely a time when you're not in charge. And if you're like me, you like it. And that's a challenge for those of us who are in charge. It's a really good antidote for pride to put ourselves in situations where we're not in charge. Humility seeks that out. Can I just tell you that one of the main reasons I believe in the kind of theology of a Baptist church is because of our system of church government and the plurality of leaders. We have a fantastic set of leaders in this church who share the responsibility with me of finding where God would lead us. And I know there are organizations where there's somebody in charge, but now the church is on a good footing. I'm fully committed to the plurality of leadership. We need others so that the minister is not always in charge. And so to sum up, as I approach my final line, I would want to say this, that humility is simply accepting God loves and values all. And a humble person is a person who tries to act as God and recognizes the value of themselves and the value of others. And I've finished. What was that? Do not encourage bad humour. Was that Nick? Who was it? Was it? What was it, Edwin? What was that? A record. I'll give you 7 out of 10 for that. Let's just pray about it. So, Lord, we want to get this balance right of humility because we recognize that you had all the authority and all the power and you gave it up. And there's so many apparent paradoxes in the scripture, and you say that it's in giving that we receive. And so, Lord, as we try and grow and develop as a body that meets under the name of London Road Baptist Church, Lord, help us in our values to be humble, to honour each other, but actually to honour you. And not just to sing, I stand in awe of you, but to live lives that are always in awe of you. Amen.